If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. One final day this week, but plenty ahead and in store over this weekend. A huge Major League Baseball weekend slate, and as of this afternoon, the Paris Olympic Games in 2024 officially get underway. The opening ceremonies on a Friday. Your Paris primer, everything you need to know from handicapping and enjoying the Olympiad here on this Friday on TEL. And we are not, Donnie Wrightside, all that far away from a true football Friday, as all 32 NFL organizations are now in training camp and practice has begun.
I guess we can't technically have a football Friday until we see some games, right? But August 1st, right, we are going to start to see some games, and that'll be fun, the official kickoff. But as you can see, some of the things that we talk about now in the show start to shift our focus here over to the fall so we can get after football. I can't wait for it. Look, it's here, and I feel like I'm still waiting for it, but it's here, but I'm waiting for it. You see the picture, Ben? So what a dilemma that I'm having right now. It's an excitement dilemma.
It is an excitement dilemma. It is that anxiety as you get ready for a new year, that nervousness that we all enjoy. But the great thing is, after manufacturing some news and headlines over an offseason, trying to be as creative as possible, each and every day now around the National Football League presents its own storylines, news and notes from practice, and things for us to truly react to. And in the next 4 days, we might have a lot to react to in Major League Baseball. Ahead of Tuesday's trade deadline, that's Tuesday, July 30th. It had been pretty quiet, as our MLB insider, Craig Mish, was sharing with you during the daily bases all week long. He hadn't heard much, even scuttlebutt or rumors of trades that were potentially going to happen until yesterday. Craig Mish breaking some news. A.J. Puck traded to the Diamondbacks from the Miami Marlins. A reliever will now join the rotation in Arizona. But the big news overnight, the Tampa Bay Rays sending Randy Arozarena to Seattle. The Mariners acquiring Arozarena as they try to get back in a playoff contention, battling for that divisional crown in the American League West. Arozarena, in his final game as a Ray, did have an RBI as Tampa beat Toronto yesterday, 13-0. Arozarena now goes over to Seattle as the M's make a push ahead of the trade deadline.
Yeah, and that's what they need. Bats, bats, and more bats at this point. They're fine starting pitching. They got a decent bullpen. They're playing a pitcher's ballpark. But on a day-to-day basis now, we look at that Mariners lineup and say somebody has got to help them out. Maybe it is Randy Arozarena can come over and provide some of that power. But also, if they want to make a run, which means win that division and get to the playoffs and win a series or two, you better get some more bats on that team. Don't stop here, Seattle.
Seattle cannot stop DRS. They have dropped 8 of their last 9 games. They were just swept at home by the Angels during the midweek series. The Astros will enter this huge MLB weekend with a 1-game advantage in the American League West. And keep an eye on those Texas Rangers starting to make some noise as well. History yesterday in Major League Baseball. For the second time ever in Padres franchise history, for the first time in his career, Dylan Cease tosses a no-hitter against the Washington Nationals. 9 innings of work, of course. 0 hits allowed, 9 strikeouts, and only 3 walks. In 114 pitches, Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter in the nation's capital. San Diego wins 3-0. They scored 3 runs in the top of the first. That's all they needed after Cease tosses a no-hitter.
Yeah, Kim got all 3 of those RBI, too, and that was enough here. Who would have thought that was going to be the case? Dylan Cease, 9 innings pitched, obviously throws the no-hitter, but 114 pitches. Now, if I'm reading the Book of Pitching Bible here, Ben, it says, throwing 114 pitches, you will never pitch again. Oh, well, looks like Dylan Cease's career is over because he went over the 100-pitch limit here. Hopefully he survives and can pitch his next game, but we'll find out. Love to see it. This is what's supposed to happen. I'm glad they didn't pull him out of a game. Thank you. No-hitter, boom. We'll remember that. Done deal.
The San Diego Padres, by the way, have won 5 straight. They are now 5 games above 500, 55 and 50. Mm-hmm. And if this is it for Dylan Cease and his right arm does truly fall off, it's been a historic run. There is an argument to be made, DRS, that Cease's last 3 starts, including yesterday's no-hitter in the nation's capital, might be the best 3-start run we have seen ever, at least in recent history, in MLB. July 13th at home against Atlanta. 6 innings of shutout baseball, only 1 hit allowed, 11 strikeouts against the Braves. Last Saturday in Cleveland, 7 innings of work. Shutout baseball, only 1 hit allowed, 10 strikeouts. Yesterday against the Nationals, a complete game, no-hitter, striking out 9. That was Dylan Cease's 6th start this year of at least 6 innings of work, allowing 1 hit or fewer. That is the most in a Major League Baseball season in the history of the bigs. Now we go around the rest of MLB. Only an 8-game slate on a Thursday, but a ton of storylines to break down. The New York Mets, a proud organization in their grimace era, just keep finding ways to win. After a Subway Series sweep this week and the season over the New York Yankees, they walk it off in extras yesterday against the Atlanta Braves. Jeff McNeil at the dish with runners on second and first. A ball that was slightly misplayed in the outfield leads to the game-winning and walk-off run. The Mets take the opener against Atlanta 3-2.
I mean, we've had performances here. I understand the Braves aren't playing with a full deck right now, but you saw a game against the Reds where they actually cut a player the following day because of one of the worst relay throws you would ever see. And then last night, the game ends on a little league fly ball to right field that the player, is he still running? Is he in Queens? Is he on Long Island? But is that on Montauk right now as he keeps flying by that baseball? Unbelievable. And maybe you have to rethink some things. I told you all summer long, like, I love the Braves front office, and no matter what happens, the Braves will be there at the end. This is a bad baseball team right now. And you know who loves it the most? The Philadelphia Phillies, where they're like, okay, we can lose every day as well and still have a 10-game lead here, basically, in the NL East. What's up with the Braves, man? That's a bad team right now, Ben.
The Braves have lost 5 games in a row, and Chris Sale was darn good yesterday in more than 7 innings of work. Really only 1 bad pitch to Francisco Lindor that went over the wall for a 2-run homer. More around MLB a little bit later on. Clayton Kershaw makes his 2024 MLB season debut. A solid outing yesterday at the Ravine. Shohei Ohtani hits a home run in the 8th, as well as the Dodgers win the 4th and final game, taking 3 of 4 of this midweek set against San Francisco, 6-4.
Yeah, see if you can build up Kershaw. 4 innings pitched, 2 earned runs here. As long as he's healthy and you get those the images back the next day and say, you know what? All right, he feels good. Maybe he goes to 5 innings, 6 innings, and you can start to stretch him out at this point. Good win for the Dodgers because you beat Webb, who's a quality pitcher. 5 innings pitched, 4 earned runs. All right, Dodgers, picked up the victory. Kershaw's healthy. Let's see what you got.
Nick Ahmed and Shohei Ohtani both hitting a solo shot in the 8th. That was the difference for the Dodgers. That was Ohtani's 31st home run of the year. The Baltimore Orioles, in danger of being swept yesterday in Miami, got off to a 6-0 lead, had that 6-0 lead entering the 7th. The Miami Marlins come all the way back to force extras, but the O's do win in 10 innings, 7-6, to avoid the sweep.
Yeah, Roderick Munoz is the worst pitcher on the card by far yesterday. Five innings pitched, six earned runs, did exactly what you wanted to. And we always say, Ben, you know, six-run lead in baseball is the most dangerous lead you could possibly have. They almost lost that game, which would have been insane if they did, but they pulled it out in extras.
Russell Wilson, first day of practice for the Pittsburgh Steelers at training camp, misses practice due to a calf issue. Justin Fields taking the starting reps.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike Tomlin's head is going to explode if he now has to answer to when Russell Wilson's coming back and if this Justin Fields can actually be a starting quarterback. Love to see it.
We'll have more from Latrobe a little bit later on. The U.S. women's soccer team at the Olympics blows out Zambia 3-0, as was expected. That's what Donnie Wrightside loves. More MLB recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
His 17th year of service started yesterday in Los Angeles in Major League Baseball. That's Clayton Kershaw as we go all around MLB from a short eight-game Thursday slate, but plenty of drama ahead of the trade deadline on Tuesday in MLB. The Dodgers in their fourth and final game, afternoon ball at Chavez Ravine in downtown LA against the Giants in this midweek set, set out Clayton Kershaw for his first start in his debut in the 2024 MLB campaign. Kersh was pretty good at the age of 36, entering year number 17. The Dodgers were booked as a home favorite. They make good on that ticket. A 6-4 victory over the Giants to take the series, winning 3 of 4 games. A total of 8.5 does go over. The Dodgers have been hot, Donnie, since the All-Star break. They had lost 8 of 11 games entering the break. They've now won 6 of 7 since that All-Star break in Arlington. Nick Ahmed, Shohei Ohtani, both hitting a solo shot in the 8th inning when the game was tied at 4 apiece. The Dodgers pulled away for a 6-4 win.
Yeah, go back to back. And also, I guess the biggest focus of this is we don't really think the Giants probably going to make the playoffs. Logan Webb's a good pitcher. I thought Logan Webb might actually be the underdog choice yesterday. And it was a close game till late. And the Dodgers pulled out. Why? Because they have some superstars like Shohei Ohtani going yard at the right time. But having said that about Clayton Kershaw, I don't look at this start and say to myself, well, good, this is going to be on a short runway here and he's going to be fantastic down the stretch and into the playoffs. He can be a number one or number two pitcher. If this just gives the Dodgers a quality start every fifth day, and I'm not even talking about I need 7 innings pitched, 115 pitches, just keep the Dodgers in ball games with a veteran presence who's been there, done that before, that could really help them. Even if Clayton Kershaw isn't in the playoff rotation as one of the 1, 2, or 3 starting pitchers for the Dodgers, because quite frankly, when everybody comes back healthy and if they make a move, he won't be there, but at least he can be that guy to help them down the stretch. It's a good start that they got yesterday. Felt good. We didn't hear anything in the post-game press conference that said anything's tweaking. That's why he came out of the game. So I like this move for the Dodgers, even if it doesn't mean Kershaw is actually going to be a playoff pitcher. He'll help in August and September, no doubt.
Listen, Clayton Kershaw is not 26 anymore. This is not 2011. This is 2024, his 17th MLB season. But he is still a staple of this franchise. 4 innings of work yesterday, 6 Ks, only 2 earned, given up, and 6 hits. For his first start this season in 72 pitches, that's about as solid of a start as you could hope for. Shohei Ohtani continues to do magical and wonderful things at the dish. His 31st home run of the year. That leads everybody in the National League. Second most in the bigs, only behind Aaron Judge, who, of course, has 35. Aaron Judge is getting pushed ever so slightly in the AL MVP race by Bobby Witt Jr. on his heater in July in Kansas City. Not necessarily the case for Ohtani in the NL MVP race. He was minus 380 at the break 1 week after. Now minus 650 for Ohtani to win the National League MVP award.
Yeah, and probably he is on that pathway to doing it unless we see something explosive in August and September. And sometimes what have you done for me lately does fill in late, but he's building such a lead right now. It's going to be interesting to see this. When Mookie Betts comes back, Obviously, Betts is going to go back to that one spot, which I loved Ohtani in. Much more bats per game, handling his business, being comfortable in that spot, hitting 312 on the season. You can never have too many superstar athletes on your team, so it's a great problem to have. But it'll be interesting to see Betts settling back into that leadoff spot and then Ohtani moving back to the order. But by far, right now, he is the MVP. And that's crazy to say. As a true DH, nobody's able to take that mantle from him, which shows how electric he's been at the plate.
And just wait to see the price next year when he is expected to be back on the bump, throwing and pitching for the Dodgers as well. Yesterday at Citi Field, the Mets in the all-black jerseys feeling pretty good. After a Subway Series and season sweep over the New York Yankees, the New York Mets continue to roll. In extra innings yesterday, Jeff McNeil up at the dish, a runner on first and second. Deep fly down the right field line, literally in the corner at Citi Field. Ramon Laureano was trying to get there for Atlanta. He had a long run, but then ran too far and misplayed the ball. It drops in the corner. The Mets walk it off in extras. 3-2 the victory against the Atlanta Braves.
It's almost like when you're going back to being a kid and you put on rollerblades for the first time. Like, hey, man, where's the brakes at? Yeah, there are no brakes. Oh, well, I'm just going to keep on flying by this play at this point. One of the, like, again, a little league play out there. It wasn't a tough catch, and he just ran straight by the baseball. Never seen that. And also, you could say to yourself, maybe it was a tough play in the corner. He didn't see it. Saw it all the way through. It was just a really odd one. Like, hey, I got it. I got it. I got it. I don't got it. I'm in the seats at this point. That's a good win for the Mets at this point. But again, another horrific play on defense costing the Atlanta Braves, who now sit at 54-47. They're not fading away per se because we have a lot of wild card spots. But having said that, they're not even playing clean baseball. It's just bad baseball every single day now for the Braves.
It's really interesting, Donnie, right? Because Ramon Laureano just ran past it. When things are going bad, they tend to be that vibe of bad. Atlanta had a couple of rainouts this week against Cincinnati, led to a players-only meeting reportedly in the ATL. Didn't help. The Braves have now lost 5 in a row. But when things are going good, things are going good, as we have seen for the New York Mets, the only team in Major League Baseball in the last 60 days to have a win percentage above 60%. Today is July 26th. Let's go back 2 months to May 26th. The Mets were 8 games below 500, 22-30. They are now 6 games above 500, 54-48. In that span, they are 32-18. It's a win percentage of 0.640. And now the Mets are only a half game behind Atlanta for that top National League wild card spot. And just to show you how crazy things are, 6 teams battling for the 3 NL wild card spots. The Braves, Mets, Padres, Cardinals, D-backs, and Pirates all separated by just 2.5 games. And this all followed yesterday, Donnie. Chris Sale being darn good, 7 1/3, 9 strikeouts, only 2 hits given up, and a 2-run blast to Francisco Lindor was really the only damage against him. He remains the National League Cy Young frontrunner at +135. Sale has allowed 2 earned run or less in his last 8 starts. Just Atlanta is struggling offensively continuously and then making bad plays in the field defensively as well. More around MLB up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Only an 8-game slate on a Thursday in Major League Baseball that we continue to review here on this Friday morning on the early line. A lot of day baseball yesterday as well. 6 of the 8 games in afternoon hours. That included down in South Florida in Miami, where the Marlins had won both of the opening 2 games of this midweek set against the Baltimore Orioles. The Yankees swept in the Subway Series, but the O's unable to take advantage to extend their game and a half lead in the American League East. And it seemed as though that lead was going to drop to maybe only 1 game yesterday. Baltimore opens up a 6-0 lead over Miami. Colton Cowser, one of the rooks for the O's, a 3-run home run early. They had that 6-0 lead entering the 6th. Miami scores six unanswered runs, including three in the home half of the ninth to force extras. But finally, Ryan Mountcastle, a game-winning RBI single in the 10th inning for Baltimore as they avoid the choke and the sweep yesterday in Miami, a 7-6 victory.
I mean, by far the biggest mismatch on the card yesterday as you showed up. We're taking a look at, I don't know, 210, 220, 250, wherever you're trying to measuring up between shops. You take a look at Corbin Burns, 7 1/3 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. Should be easily enough to win that baseball game, particularly when you saw that 6-0 lead. And we talked about it yesterday. Boy, you really think that the Baltimore Orioles early should be able to capitalize, and they did. So it worked out perfectly. You just didn't think that the Marlins would come all the way back. And also, how bad would that loss of that have been? You already got beat twice down in Miami. The 6-0, okay, we salvage the series, let's move on there, and all of a sudden you're in extra innings on the ropes to take probably your worst loss of the season. That is a win that the Orioles desperately needed and finally got, and after the game can exhale because they were on the ropes to lose a game against a bad baseball team looking to sell at the deadline up six runs. That can't happen. But you're going to see 7-6 in the book. All wins count the same here. Doesn't matter how you got there, but my goodness, what a slippery slope there yesterday for the O's.
And Corbin Burns got the start, -215 on the money line.
Unbelievable.
They do eventually cash that ticket, 8.5 the total. It goes over. Miami a seller at the deadline. Our MLB insider Craig Mish breaking some news yesterday. AJ Puck traded by the Marlins to the Arizona Diamondbacks, trying to reinforce that bullpen for Arizona. Elsewhere in day baseball yesterday, fourth and final game of a midweek series between two American League Central foes. The Tigers won the opener. The Guardians won the next two. The Tigers win the finale. 3-0 shutout yesterday in the land, booked as a pretty hefty road underdog in Cleveland. DRS, you highlighted the totals all week long. 7.5 yesterday stays well under. This was the only scoring. Javi Baez, 3-run home run in the second. Detroit splits the set against Cleveland, who entered yesterday with the best record in the American League. Again, the Tigers will be a fascinating study in the next 4 days, namely around Tarek Skubal and Jack Flaherty. But Detroit has won 12 of its last 17 games.
Yes, Detroit has been playing well. Cleveland's offense hasn't. Now, also, when you're taking a look at the trade deadline coming up, you're right about that. The Detroit Tigers, they're going to be an interesting look to see if they get rid of some of their pitchers. But on the other hand, Cleveland is struggling right now. Cleveland is leaking oil. Yeah. Can they absolutely revamp that team? Maybe another pitcher, maybe another batter, because they need that. And also, hey, Cleveland, you know what's going to help you out? Going to Philadelphia for a series when you know the Phillies aren't playing well and are hungry for victories and play much, much for better sure. at Citizens Bank Park. We'll see what happens on the horizon. But what happened to that Cleveland Guardians offense that we love so much here? Nobody hitting all of a sudden at the same time. That's what's deadly.
The Guardians have lost 8 of their last 12, 61-41. Same record with the Orioles, who escaped yesterday in Miami, tied for the best marks in the American League. There are two teams in baseball with 62 wins or more. The Phils with the best record and the most wins, 64. The Dodgers now at 62 as well. Maybe the hottest team in baseball consistently, that's the Rangers. Texas wins yesterday 2-1 as a hefty home favorite, -255 against the lowly Chicago White Sox, as you would expect. The Rangers sweep this four-game set. The White Sox have lost 11 consecutive games. Scherzer's thing, though, Max Scherzer yesterday, 6 innings of work, a single earned run given up, and 9 strikeouts against the Southsiders.
You love to see that out of Scherzer yesterday, because this wasn't, again, like that Clayton Kershaw type start, which, again, Scherzer had a couple of them, but you wanted to see him advance and sort of be stretched out. Now going into the sixth, or completing the sixth inning, 85 pitches, and he looked really good. The key indicator, 9 strikeouts. I understand it was the Chicago White Sox, but you got to start somewhere. You got to like what you saw out of Scherzer yesterday.
Texas has won 5 straight games as Seattle struggles in the American League West. The Astros have the lead in the division. 1 game over the M's, only 2.5 in front of Texas. A Paris primer, an Olympic watcher. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today is the day. Opening ceremonies in Paris under the Eiffel Tower along the River Seine. That will be the story on this Friday afternoon, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, or 7:30 p.m. local time in Paris, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time here stateside. That's when the opening ceremonies of the 2024 Summer Olympic Games officially get underway. So we get you set for everything that you will see this weekend as the Olympics fully start. Of course, we have had some action on the soccer pitch and in various other sports over the previous two games to kind of make sure we keep pace with all the sports and matches that need to be played in Paris. Donnie, right side, scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you for the opening ceremonies today in Paris?
No, but you might be tuning in here. Might just want to check it out. Heard it's supposed to be an exciting time. We want to see LeBron James. We want to see a lot of people out there, the superstar athletes of the U.S. But let me ask this question, because this Please. Will dictate how excited I might be here for the Olympiad over there in Paris. Are Right. we going to get tape delayed action, Ben? Because this is what I asked. It worked so. In the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, and early 2000s. Hey, you know what? A gold medal was just won by a superstar athlete. Nobody knows. Let's keep it hush because the news won't travel. And then we'll play it prime time as if everybody's going to enjoy it together. We're on a massive time difference here. So am I led to believe that I'm going to watch Sha'Carri Richardson when I already know she won a gold medal in prime time because that's when they want it to be in U.S. prime time, that I'm supposed to get excited for something I already know about? Please tell me that's not going to be the case here. Because if it is, I'm not going to be excited. If they do keep it just live, let's go. I like it.
I do not believe we will see any tape delays. Again, it's only a six-hour difference, so not overly drastic. There might be some things late night and prime time in Paris, but I believe a lot of the Olympic schedule has been catered to us here in the U.S. So many of those United States basketball games and the big marquee events will probably be around 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. At least that is my guess. That would be 7:30, 9 p.m. local time there in France. But I think we'll be here live with some afternoon viewing to be a part of. I'm sure there will be some things where we look back when they have the, you know, the prime time Paris Olympic coverage here, at least stateside. But I think a lot of it will be live. Don't take my word for it. I don't work for NBC. I am not in the planning of their network coverage. Let's get to some Olympic headlines. As we have shared, LeBron James, Coco Gauff, the flag bearers for America today at the opening ceremonies. LeBron James, the first men's basketball player ever to carry the flag. Coco Gauff, the first tennis player, correct me if I'm wrong, to carry the flag for Team USA. But Olympic action has already started. Team USA women's soccer winning yesterday 3-0 in their opener against Zambia. That is what Donnie Wrightside wants. Full investment into the women's national team that is our bright spot in international soccer. However, this U.S. Olympic team has to answer a couple of doubts. A bronze in the Tokyo Games 3 summers ago. Of course, they were knocked out for the first time ever in the knockout round at the World Cup.
Yeah, and we are going to have the answer for that, and we need to have a stronger performance. And getting at least to the gold medal game probably is what we need to have to see here for a Team USA for the women. Winning it should be in expectations. Such a far different expectation where the men are just hoping to, I don't know, score. How about this? Team USA women hoping to win a gold medal. Team USA men hoping to score a goal. Like, we're on just different levels at this point right now. So I'm on Team USA for the women's side. I want to watch them play through. And now also from Team USA, the men's side, just can you just show me something? Just don't embarrass yourself once again on the biggest stage. Come on.
We got to get DRS either a Trinity Rodman jersey, who scored an absolutely sick spin move goal yesterday. The daughter, of course, of Dennis Rodman, maybe Rose Lavelle, former Wisconsin Badger. Get you one of those kits, DRS. You look pretty good.
Yeah, by the way, I liked the color scheme yesterday for Team USA, the ladies rolling out there with it. It was a very nice uniform that, me being the aficionado of what you can and can't rock,
of course,
I approved of those uniforms yesterday. So I did. Yep.
Fashion Police, we already have our first large scandal at the Olympic Games, the Canadian spying scandal in women's soccer based on drone footage of New Zealand practice earlier this week. It had led to the dismissal of a non-accredited individual with Canadian soccer and an assistant coach. Now the skipper, the head coach, Bev Priestman, sent home by the Canadian Federation. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Our friendly neighbors from up north. Donnie, you say if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. The Olympic Committee says not so fast.
Yeah, maybe she'll reappear on the sideline like Connor Stallions and just have like a mustache or a wig on or something like that where nobody would know who she is at this point. But I do like the fact that the Olympics apparently takes things more serious than our professional sports. So shout out the Olympics for making the right move here.
I would love nothing more. Priestman in a USA disguise with a hat, sunglasses, and a goatee getting out there like Connor Stallions. Yep. They might make a Netflix documentary about Priestman one day. Rafael Nadal, we will have plenty of tennis notes for Olympic tennis played at Roland Garros in Paris, the same place they play the French Open, from the mind of our producer and tennis aficionado Joe Friso later on in Hour 3. That should be a very fun segment. But Rafael Nadal's status in doubt for singles at the Paris Olympic Games, injured during preparation. Of course, we brought you all of his matches last week at the Swedish Open.
Yeah, by the way, Rafael Nadal is getting to that stage where he's like me at this point. Dude's getting out of bed and getting injured. It's time to hang it up. You had a great career. Just relax. Sit it out. No problems. Hey, by the way, you and Tiger Woods, just sit this thing out. Have fun. Do commercials and enjoy the rest of your life.
Donnie, right side, the Colin Montgomery to Tiger Woods, what he is now to Rafael Nadal. Joe Friso calls the setback, and I quote, Djokovic in round two, itis, as though he's scared of Novak Djokovic in a singles match that could potentially await. All right, let's look at what the U.S. is expected to do at the Paris Olympic Games. To have the most golds, minus 550. The only competition, really, China, plus 350. USA for the most medals, minus 2,000. The Chinese at 13-1. There's already been some conversation, DRS, about potential doping at the Olympics and a lot of a look at China. Just throwing that out there at the moment.
So there's scandals before the scandal. So we're getting into boxing now where it's like, okay, we know everybody's juiced up, but let's let them do the Olympics so it doesn't harm the actual occasion. Then when the Olympics are over, we'll tell whoever was doping, we have to take your medals away, but didn't affect the competition. That's what I was like, honestly, Ben, with like boxing, like let's compare it to the Olympics. These guys test, like get the test back and say, no, you can't go into the ring. You are juicing up. Why do they always let the boxers go? Similar here is what we're finding out with the men's national teams here and the women's national teams. Yeah. I don't know why we just can't eradicate that beforehand.
I don't either, but apparently the IOC has not done a great job of it. I'm trying to see how many Olympic gold medals the United States has won in its history as I scroll down here to show you the over-under of the total medal count. 1,061. Heck yeah, America. We're expected at 41.5 to maybe get to that over-under this time around. All right, let's talk specific teams that can make some noise. Men's basketball, minus 400. Women's basketball was minus 3,500, now down to minus 2,400. Is that because they lost to Team WNBA?
I don't know. Like, well, I don't know why it would drop. Are we expecting some suspensions here? What are we expecting here? Does somebody know something we don't know?
I don't know. Yeah, Friso, get on that. Team WNBA would also win gold medal if they went to the Olympic Games. Women's soccer, 2-1, going to be a tightly contested race with Spain. We'll show you some individual favorites a little bit later on in our show, like tennis, golf. And make sure you pay attention to one of the bright superstars that you will see at the Olympic Games, Sha'Carri Richardson, as Donnie highlighted earlier this week. NFL news and notes from training camp up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Training camp is underway for all 32 NFL teams all around the National Football League. So thus, I guess we transform for the next little bit of time to a Football Friday. Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. DRS, all 32 teams showed up to camp as of Wednesday afternoon. So a lot of teams who had been there over the weekend or earlier in the week had their first day of practice either on Wednesday or yesterday, Thursday. Of course, a lot of eyeballs on Dallas's training camp that started up in wine country in California. I kid because Donnie doesn't know California geography. Oxnard, California. And there's a lot of focus on what Jerry Jones is going to do this camp. Is he going to pay CeeDee Lamb? Is he going to pay Dak Prescott? What are his hopes for 2024? Let's hear from the man himself.
Here. I'm all in. I'm all in.
Heard that before.
Sometimes being all in means you narrow. You remove the months out here that are in the future, and you narrow it down to where all we're talking about is right now in the next playoff season, and that's it for everybody. We're all in. We're all in. It's all right there. Let's okay. We all got some things out here in the future, another 2 or 3 years on contracts, all that stuff. Let's all get in here. Zero right now in this. Dak's got his year contract. Let's focus right here. We all got a lot on the line for that playoff game. A lot of it.
They're screwed. That's my assessment. CeeDee Lamb's not getting paid. Dak Prescott's not getting paid. Mike McCarthy's done after this year as well.
I mean, the tough scene right now is I would love to go on a different tangent right now watching that video with an elder gentleman here talking, and I don't really know what's going on, but we'll leave that for another day at this point. But what I took out of that from the Dallas Cowboys at this point is, like, my goodness, like, who is running the show down there? I mean, you had a chance to say going all in means like, hey, Jerry, what an offseason. You signed 5 different Pro Bowlers and added them to your roster. Can you even make salary next year? I don't care. I'm all in for this year. So all in for this year means don't make any changes, don't pay anybody, and let's see how it works out. You got to be kidding me, man. And as an Eagles fan, we love to see this because nobody understands what's going on in Dallas. And if you just watch Michael Parsons in the offseason, he doesn't know what's going on and can't believe what's taking place.
So I'm not entirely sure if the Jones family is understanding of what they are doing now.
Correct.
Speaking of the Jones family, Stephen Jones, Papa Jerry's kid and the COO of the Dallas Cowboys, says Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb both want to become the highest paid non-quarterback in football, which would be over $35 million per year. Jones says they have all that going on while also juggling the Dak Prescott situation, which is ongoing. Quote, it's not easy. Jerry Jones later adds, this puts gas in my tank. Okay. Micah Parsons cannot be paid until the end of this year, his third in the National Football League. CeeDee Lamb is up for an extension. He is playing under the final year of his 5-year rookie deal in 2024. Dak Prescott under the final year of his contract as well. If they do not receive an extension before the NFL season begins in 2024, both Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, your two best offensive pieces by a country mile, Jerry, are going to be a free agent. You are going to have to start from ground zero. You are going to set your franchise back by multiple years. A franchise that in the past 28 seasons, since you last won a Lombardi Trophy in 1995, has failed to even reach the NFC Championship game. So you can say that you are all in on what? Being bounced from the postseason before you even contend truly for a conference championship again, to not have a future after that? I'm taking crazy pills.
Let's equate it to another franchise. Let's go back maybe a decade or so. And this was before, like, you're coming into the NFL, you're getting big contracts before they actually slotted the first round. The Detroit Lions had Matthew Stafford and Dominican Sue and Calvin Johnson. High player guys. Calvin Johnson, yes. And they couldn't re-sign all three of those. Why? Because they all make so much money at once. One, two, three, and all. Like, we just can't do this and break the bank. So the Dallas Cowboys are telling us now that it's good for business, that next year three different players will reset the market at their position. I don't know how you can afford that. And quite frankly, now you can pay Micah Parsons. He's up for a contract negotiation, but he's willing to wait till next year because he's laughing behind the scenes, go, watch me put up 18 sacks this year, and you're going to pay me the most money, quarterback, non-quarterback, anybody, regardless. So next year, if you want Dak Prescott, that's $60 million a year. If you want CeeDee Lamb, he's already put that feelers. He wants more than Justin Jefferson. And then Micah Parsons might be paid as the highest paid player in the history of the sport. They only did it to themselves. You're supposed to stagger these. Sign a guy now. Sign a guy in the offseason. Sign a guy next year after that. They let all three happen at the same time. What a disaster in Dallas.
My apologies. Yes, Micah Parsons, who has completed his 3 years of service before an extension, but still has two more years on his rookie deal. He has been a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro pretty much every season. Pro Bowler, all three, All-Pro two of the three. And here is the outlook once again for the Dallas Cowboys. They are not judged on going over a win total of 9.5 or getting to double-digit victories. They've won 12 games in each of the last three seasons. They are not judged on winning the NFC East. They are judged on one thing and one thing only. That's the conference price at 8-1, which has gotten even longer this offseason, and the Super Bowl number to win a Lombardi Trophy once again at 18-1. It does not matter if the Cowboys go 17-0 as the number one seed in the NFC and earn a bye and play in the divisional round at the Star. If they get one and done again, that's all we'll remember. That's all we will talk about.
Exactly. And then what's up next year? You re-sign Dak Prescott again after another non-deep playing. But also, coming into training camp, the vibes are supposed to be high. Everybody's supposed to be on the same page working towards an NFL championship. You're not getting that in Dallas right now, and that's trouble.
Nope, that is for sure trouble. More around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just to round out the Cowboys conversation, not only did we hear from the Jones family yesterday, Jerry and his son, Steven, we also heard from Dak Prescott in Oxnard ahead of Cowboys training camp, fully getting underway, saying this, quote, "I'm going to say it. I want to be here. But when you look up, all the great QBs I watched played for other teams. That's not something to fear. It may be a reality for me one day. It may not be my decision." End quote. Dak Prescott pretty much saying what we said, DRS, in that most recent segment, that if Jerry fails to pay him this offseason, he is a free agent, free to test the market next offseason, and he might go anywhere but Dallas.
Yes, and that's it. Look, we've seen Kirk Cousins play this out perfectly. Like, I'm a quarterback. I trust that I'm going to be healthy somewhat for the majority of my career. I'm a good player. Like, I'll keep pushing the can down because it always means more money. It can work out in your favor. Now, also, Dak Prescott did have worked in. You can't franchise tag him next offseason. Here's the double whammy for the Dallas Cowboys. And this is why you should, even if he hasn't worked out in the Super Bowl just yet, do you know what happens next year? If he leaves the Dallas Cowboys franchise and just signs as a free agent with another team, he still has a dead cap hit that's going to hit the Dallas Cowboys. So again, you're looking at saying all in. That's not being all in. So I'm going to lose my quarterback for nothing in the offseason, and then I'm going to take a dead cap hit for that quarterback who's not even playing for me anymore at this point, and then have to sign CeeDee Lamb and also Micah Parsons the monster contracts. It just, nothing made sense here. The NFL is built where each and every year that salary cap rises. So when you say, like, kick the can down, it's just keep on renegotiating with the quarterback and your top players while you're in that window, and when it's ready to reset the window, then you don't care about it because you're saying, okay, next year or two, we're not going to be that great. We're going to get a good quarterback through the draft with a high traffic, and you reset your own market. I just can't figure out what Dallas is doing, and it's only self-harm at this point.
And Donnie is spot on. The final year of Dak's contract in 2025 is void. He's not an unrestricted free agent, so the Cowboys would still be on the line. Jerry, pay the guys now. Just pay that. You should have paid CeeDee Lamb back in March, and you could have been on the forefront of the contract extension before Justin Jefferson reset the market for non-quarterbacks.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Anyway, as we go around training camp, of course, a lot of focus for the Jets has been on who is there, Aaron Rodgers, and who is not, Hassan Reddick, holding out. How about their third-year running back in Breece Hall, a promising start to his career back in 2022 for the second-round draft pick out of Iowa State, and a solid 2023 in which he played in all 17 games, only played in two his rookie year before missing the remainder of that season. What are Breece Hall's expectations entering year three? Let's hear from him himself.
Short of 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
You think about that going into this year and those?
Nah, I'm for sure have 1,000-plus yards this year, so that ain't even anything that's in the back of my mind.
She got them?
Whatever happens, happens. Like I said, if we do what we're supposed to as a team, then I'm going to have every individual goal that I want, so I ain't worried about that.
My reaction was not to Breece Hall. I couldn't understand the question. Was that the heaviest New York accent you have ever heard?
Get that guy on the grid, man. Come on, make him
a host. Was that Kevin Walsh talking to Kana?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly. like some people have different voices here on the Sports Grid Network when you talk to them in person and when they're on the air, so be careful of that. Yeah.
I mean, you got to be a little bit scared. 1,000 yards for Breece Hall in year number three is minus 155 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. His season-long prop, 1,025 in a hook. Hearing the confidence out of Breece Hall entering his third NFL season, DRS, does that make you want to bet his prop more?
Yeah, it does, because here's what's going to happen. We expect the Jets to be competitive, right? Not like last year, like, oh, man, they stink, and in the fourth quarter they're going to be down, which means extra carries typically in the second half. But also, you have a competent quarterback, or at least we think is going to be competent and healthy this year. That opens up the passing game, which in turn makes it easier to run the football. Now, the question mark certainly will pop up. Can that Jets offensive line produce a 1,000-yard run? It's not about the talent itself. You still have to pave the way. But if he is healthy, it's 17 games. Like, it's not back in the 70s with a 14-game schedule. Wow, you got to 1,000 yards. 17 games to get 1,000. That should happen if you're the lead tailback with any bit of talent. And you know Breece Hall has a lot of talent. I think he's right in that mindset. I'm going to get 1,000, just no matter how many I go over 1,000 at this point.
Olufoshinu out of Penn State, drafted 11th overall by New York to keep Aaron Rodgers upright and to help pave the way for Breece Hall. You would think if the optimism is there for gangrene offensively, all of those talented and young pieces are firing, including Breece Hall. Good news in Atlanta. Kirk Cousins coming back from the torn Achilles is not going to miss any practice time. He has been cleared right away. Good for the Dirty Birds. Mm-hmm. Football Friday continues into our second hour with the mastermind of the picks, Joe Lisi, up next.